When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Hi. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Stephen, what's going on? Why is everything different? Why are you in the guest chair? Why aren't you behind the desk? First of all, I'm going to need you to back off because you're freaking me out with all these questions. It's simple. This is pre-recorded. But even though I'm not here right now, tonight is still an all-new show with a twist. I spend a lot of that time in that chair right over there interviewing celebrities and newsmakers and authors in this chair, finding out everything about them, what they think, what they feel, how they smell. Hugh Laurie, wintergreen and fresh-cut grass. But I thought it would be fun to flip the script this time, have some of my celebrity friends over to interview me for a change. That's right, even in a show that I pre-recorded so that I wouldn't have to host a show, I'm still not hosting that show. So sit back and relax, because that's what I'm doing right now. I think in the Caribbean.
Please, have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. How are you? Welcome. Welcome to the Late Show. I'm your host, Jon Stewart. I haven't said that in a while. Well, we're going to get right to it. Our first guest tonight is the host of The Late Show on CBS, for now. He's won multiple Emmy and Peabody Awards and award for most obedient Sunday school student and got his start on an obscure cable network. Please welcome to the program Mr. Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert! I believe that's your water, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Now, obviously, I haven't done this in a while, so I'm just going to start with what's on the card.
I am strangely nervous.
Okay. Who the do you think you are? That's not actually on the card. That was So we call him business an ad lib.
A little bit like Jon Stewart. I think I'm
not.
A little bit like Jon Stewart.
Not at all. Look at you.
A little bit.
Look how hale and hearty you look.
Thank you.
Coming in here every night, taking in the toxins,
sure,
and spewing back out rainbow-colored sprinkles. Like, that's your job. And you do it beautifully.
It ain't sprinkles.
Oh, it's sprinkles, baby.
By the way, thank you for dressing up. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking this seriously. I really appreciate it.
I don't have much space down here.
I know.
And so obviously I don't have an extensive wardrobe.
Yep.
I just wear what I left the show in 3 years ago. And I continue.
I've only been interviewed once before by you in my life. And last time I was Al Sharpton.
That is correct. The last time I interviewed, Al Sharpton was going to be on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And at the last minute,
Yes.
He decided he didn't feel like it. I don't even think it was like, I'm not feeling well. I think it was more like, I'm not coming.
Yes.
And you stepped in and I interviewed you with the Al Sharpton questions.
I just answered all the Al Sharpton questions. Well, the part you forget about it is that I had a ticket in my hand and I was walking out of the Daily Show because 2 weeks before it was released worldwide, I had a ticket to a pre-screening of The Fellowship of the Ring. And I put my hand on the door to leave The Daily Show and heard, Stephen Colbert, come to the studio. Stephen, come to the studio. And I said, and he said, you're Al Sharpton. I said, got it. That was literally the entire conversation.
And then it just ran, and it was so brilliant that Al Sharpton's Action Network actually then asked Stephen to take over.
Yeah.
Which I was...
And here I am.
I was shocked about. Very few people know, Stephen is on television and he shares with you every night his thoughts and feelings and dreams about this country and his hopes for the future of it. But what you don't know is what a devoted and lovely family man Stephen Colbert is. And I wanted to ask you about that.
Sure.
Which child do you love the most? Because I think it's interesting, because I know who I think it is, but I'd love to hear who you think.
Probably Nate.
That's my child. Oh, unbelievable. You got out of that. Well, let me ask you a question about Donald Trump, if I may.
Uh-huh.
Donald Trump, great president or greatest president? What would you say?
Uh-huh. I think great president. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else other than great or greatest?
Just great or greatest. I got that question off of an old... There was a show that used to come on after mine. You would have loved it.
I don't know about that.
It was hosted by this high-status conservative idiot.
Last night, I go out to dinner with my wife and my daughter, and as we're leaving this restaurant, people are very nice. People come and say, I really like the show.
Nice.
I said, oh, thanks very much. I'm trying to say goodbye to my daughter. She's going back off. She works out of town. She's about to leave, so I'm saying, oh, hey, this guy comes up and goes, I really love the show. I said, thanks very much. And he goes, I like the old show more, but still.
I like your old work a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. Yeah. Let me ask you, since you brought up
Do you get
your
that?
Children.
Oh, you don't have new work yet.
No, I don't work. I go door-to-door delivering.
Oh, really?
I now go door-to-door delivering satirical news.
Oh.
I just ring a doorbell.
You're canvassing.
Then they come. That's right. The thing that I don't think Donald Trump likes the job of president, but he likes the trappings of power. I don't think he likes the, like, why are you talking to me about energy policy? Just get the shot of me going onto the helicopter looking like a mafia.
Why are you asking me any questions, you know? Why are you asking me two questions? Question's okay. Two questions, then you might mention that I just lied to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you met him before he was president and he was on the show, and had you met him before?
I had. I had met Donald Trump backstage at Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was late night or whether it was The Tonight Show, but I went over there and I did...
Was he running for president at the time? Or
no.
He was
just a guy.
When you met him outside of that, did the bluster seem charming in a sort of music man kind of a way?
He wasn't blustering at all. He was like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, congratulations on the show. He wasn't blustery
at all.
He's got that gear of, like, just some guy you'd see someplace. That's what he seemed like. He was just some guy. And he was like, let's take a picture. He was, like, all ready for to take a picture. And orange like you couldn't believe. Like, in person.
I could believe that.
In person. You've met him.
Yeah.
He was, You gave him, a lot of people have nicknames for Donald Trump, but you have the greatest nickname of all time. Would you care to share it with the people of the CBS audience?
I refer to him as Face Von Clownstick. Let me say this. Affectionately. Always affectionately.
I know I'm being
Always
interviewed
with
right
respect.
Now. I know I'm being interviewed right now.
Yes,
but
you
can
are.
Can I ask you, do you miss at all having a show that deals with these kind of jokes now that he's president of the United States? Because you're like, that would be nice to take a couple of swipes here or there, no?
You and I both famously know we were turd miners. We toiled in the turd mines.
We grew up in Appalachia.
We were poor
Appalachian turd miners.
That's
right. We came from a family of turd. Well, you know, my family back in the old country.
Yes.
They were goat ball lickers.
That was.
They're turd mining beneath. Step up. Turd mining would
step
up for them.
We both lost many people close to us to turd lung. It's been a terrible thing.
Yeah.
So working at the Daily Show, I felt as though I was toiling in the turd mines. And then I finally quit, and a giant turd asteroid heads towards the planet. Now, in that instance, if someone said, hey, you were a turd miner, this is the largest turd deposit ever seen. Don't you wish you were in there? And you're just like, I'm out of the turd business. I'm out.
Come on in, John. The turd's fine.
We have to go to a commercial. Stick around when we come back. More Stephen Colbert.
What?
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I came up in stand-up, where you learn to kind of, you deliver it as yourself, and as authentic as you can be to yourself is how good you're going to become as a stand-up, how unique you can be. You came up as an actor and an improvisational
genius. Never did stand-up at all.
But always wore, even on The Daily Show, some sort of veneer of character or affect.
Yeah.
Did that for a long time. Did it in a way nobody
years,
had ever done it.
Like that, yeah.
And on the Colbert Report, rendering that character in real time, like a supercomputer. Like, nobody could believe that you were able to pull that off. What was it like to then pull off all of the character, all of the facades, and did you feel vulnerable sharing? All the characters you played were incredibly opinionated. When you first came out here, the vulnerability you felt expressing opinions that people knew that they could peg to you, how hard was that?
That was one of the challenges. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges that, if I say it, it's really me saying it, not a character. You don't have the protection of the mask.
Yes.
Which I worked so hard to never let go at the old show. Like, I think I've told you before I walked down on stage, every night on the old show, I'd slap myself in the face hard, twice. And the rule was I had to slap myself hard enough to regret having done it. Because I knew, like, tonight, like, don't drop the mask. You've worked so hard. It's been 10 years. Don't drop it tonight. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, yes. Got it, okay?
Yes.
And then I'd walk out, like, okay, because there's no other take on this. So I'd go do it. Here, first coming out here, I didn't know who I was. I mean, I know who I am as a human being. And so my wife, Evie, I'd have her sit in chair 5 rows back over there. Mm-hmm. For the first month, she sat there because I'd go, I'm married to her, because my character wasn't married to her.
Right.
My character was married to a woman named Lorraine.
Yes.
And it was not a happy relationship.
No.
So
I got a lot of great breakup songs.
Exactly. So I would look at her and go, okay, I'm her husband. This is me. I'm me. You know, I'm their dad. I'm her husband. But I was completely uncomfortable standing out there and just telling jokes. We didn't really do a proper monologue for 6 months, something like that, for 6 months.
Do you remember what moment allowed you to confidently step into who you really are hosting this show and when it happened?
There were several, because there's different aspects of the show. There's like a couple different shows here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the monologue is one thing. Desk is slightly different, and then the interviews are a totally different beast in
right.
a way. For the interviews, I got there a little bit quicker, though not consistently, when Joe Biden was on. And Joe Biden,
yes.
Really only I, my real self, could have received what Mr. Biden was willing to share with me and with the audience.
Two Catholics that had dealt with terribly painful losses.
Exactly. And when he left, I turned to Tom over there, and I said, that nice old man just gave me my show. Because I know that there are times when I absolutely have to be myself. And that was something to hold on to for the 6 months before we figured this out.
Right.
And then,
by the way, a beautiful night to watch. And I
knew it was lovely.
Leading up to it. It was one of those things where I was waiting for the two of you to coalesce like that.
Yeah, it was a real privilege. And then, well, certainly when Chris Licht came on, he said, you guys are so good at responding so quickly to what just happened. What if you just did a monologue that was about that every night? And I went,
Satirical news.
I know. I said, I'm not going to do a monologue where I do one setup, one punchline. I hate that. I'm not going to do that. And he goes, do as many jokes on any subject as you want. Just do the thing that you seem to like the most. And I went, there's a crazy idea.
Enjoy doing the show.
Honest to God, because when you first come over to do a show like this, you think, oh, I have to do it totally differently. I remember I said to you, we were about to open, and you came over, and you said, so how do you feel? And I said, well, man, I feel good. I like what we're going to do, but, you know, what, you said? I said, I haven't found something to replace the monologue. And you went, oh, so after 60 years of there being late shows, in the 6 weeks you've been thinking about, like, doing the show, you haven't replaced the most recognized form of something that has existed for 60 years?
Let me just explain. In my defense, I'm a bit of a
And I really thought, because the whole objective, because they're totally different beasts. Like
right.
the old show, you know, that was,
but
we were trying to do something that hadn't been done before.
Right.
And here, what I've discovered is I can have so much fun doing an old form.
Yes.
But with our flavor. And so I realized, like, oh, I'll just go to figure out what my monologue was, which was a difficult trip for me because I'd never done stand-up.
Right.
I had to get used to just staring at a camera and telling jokes as myself. But the live shows are really what did it for us. We started doing live shows.
Right.
Basically, we got our ship sort of the batten down for a couple of months, and then we started doing live shows. And live shows gave everything immediacy.
Right.
And then I knew, oh, I know how to do this show now. You have to do it with immediacy and with urgency and all those things that we took to the old work through the character.
Yes.
But now I just have to say it as myself. And really, part of it was trusting Tom and trusting the writers and knowing that I didn't actually have to steer the ship so tightly. They know what they're doing, and
right.
they know the kind of comedy and satire I like, and that trust paid off in the show we're doing now.
Yes, it did. Yeah. When we come back, more with young Stephen Colbert.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Well, that's hilarious. Wrong hole. That's
yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very funny.
Yeah.
We're back and we're talking with Stephen Colbert, who is, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, a noted substitute Sunday school teacher from New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That's, well, when I go in there, I don't talk so much about the Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I introduce the children to the subterranean prehuman gods of the Lovecraft mythos.
Sure.
Cthulhu, Hastur, he who must not be
the
named.
The Titans.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite character in the Bible, Old Testament?
Old Testament. Or as you would call it, the Bible.
The Testament.
As I
would call it, the Word of God.
That's a toughie. Old Testament. I would say maybe Aaron, because Aaron did so much and gets no credit. Moses gets all the ink,
But Aaron actually led everybody because Moses had the stutter. Aaron did all the... This is true. It
also,
says,
Moses, very few people remember, spent a lot of time up on the mountain.
And Aaron's...
During that time,
yeah,
kind of hit the fan.
Right. So Aaron,
you know, I would have thought he would have said Isaac.
Because
because everybody talks about Abraham, like he was the guy that did such a great thing. Meanwhile, yeah, it's Isaac. His father basically tries to kill him because an invisible voice said, kill him. And then he was like, just as he was about to kill him, said, it's okay. Isaac has to deal with the ramifications, which is really the foundation of Judaism, being rejected by your father.
I'm gonna change mine. Sorry. I wanna change mine
to... Had a lot of microphones.
To Job.
Job?
I'm gonna change mine to Job.
Because
he does not curse God.
No, he doesn't.
Because
he endures.
He endures all, even though his neighbors are saying, like, curse God and die, what are you doing? And you ever read J.B. by Archibald MacLeish?
Of course, I stay in a lot of hotels.
Okay. Well, it's one of my favorite poems. It's a play in verse,
yes,
by Archibald MacLeish, who is the poet laureate of the United States. And he actually wrote this play where Zuss and Nichols, who are God and Satan, are like talking about, hast thou seen my servant Job? Like, well, they're going to test him. So Nichols, who's Satan, comes back after everything's been taken from Job. And basically Zuss, whose God, goes, so what'd you think down there? And he goes, what'd he do? And he goes, he didn't curse you. And this is what Nichols says to him. I heard upon his dry dung heap that man cry out who cannot sleep. If God is God, he is not good. If God is good, he is not God. Take the even, take the odd. I would not sleep here if I could, but for the little green leaf in the wood and the wind on water. And that is the gratitude you have to have in life, no matter what dung heap you lie on.
Here's why, and I don't know if this is ever gonna be in the show. Here's what I wanna let you know, and I mean this. This is what it's like to hang out with this cat. Like, you'll literally be like, did you see the Mets game? And he hits you with that.
I used to be way more comfortable in this chair than that chair. Now I want to be in that chair. That's a huge change. Is that I wanted to be the guest even on my own show. The joke at the old show was, well, it doesn't matter who you book, I'm the guest.
Right, exactly.
Because that's why the character ran over and sat down, because
right,
he was the guest of his own show.
I've never
And that
liked
person
that
got
chair.
To be, really?
Never.
I always liked this chair. You were on here with Dave a bunch, right?
Yes, I was on here a bunch of times. It's a little bit, if I may, and this is not giving away secrets, a little bit colder in the studio. Like, you would come out here, and it was like Dave was filming the scene from Rocky where he beats up meat. Like, you would walk right in here and go, like, yes, are they concerned about bacteria growth? Because we are in some kind of sub-Arctic scenario.
Yeah, that was like 56 degrees. This is like 60. I think we do 60 degrees.
The 4 degrees mean everything. But I would sit here, and Dave and Stephen is the same way. He was sort of the Pope of comedy.
Absolutely.
And you came on here, and you just wanted to please Father. And
then you'd go home, and you'd watch him in the interview,
yes,
to see whether when he laughed, that was a real laugh. Did you,
yes,
really get Dave to laugh?
That's right.
That was the best.
And yeah, and I'm sorry that he left the show, because I was getting close.
But you know what he called us? Do you remember what he called us?
Heckle and Jekyll?
He called us the Cable Twins.
The Cable Twins. It has been an honor and a pleasure to interview you, but more importantly, it is an honor and a pleasure to watch this program every night that I do from my perch underneath.
And you're just seeing it. You're just seeing my groin the whole time.
And let me tell you something.
That's a great show.
Stephen Colbert.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show's away on summer break. The Late Show will be back on September 6th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.